Can you give me a dozen touchdowns on the ground?
Buccaneers fans, the roster is in, and the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here to talk about it. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee Dekember of JoeBucksFan.com is not here, Ira, but this is going to be a shorter podcast, and we will have something a little more comprehensive tomorrow after Jason Light speaks to the media, which is a bit of a surprise, but it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. No matter where we are and what we're doing, Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of a stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Sage, you've seen this remodeled giant of a dealership. It's unreal.
Pass it by every time I go down to One Buck. Going south on Dale Mabry, it glanced to my left, and there it is. It's like a palace, Steve. Never mind the initiatives that GM Sean Sullivan's offering the general public. They're up and going. They spent a lot of money, Steve. Capital expenses. And now they're going to reap the benefits, Steve.
It's incredible inside. Most service bays anywhere. They've got 100 loaner vehicles.
They'll come to your house.
Come to your house and do recall work or other work. They'll bring you into the dealership to do your service. But, of course, you want to buy your new vehicle or used vehicle. Certified pre-owned, of course, at Bill Curry Ford. Don't worry. Drive Curry. Make no payments all summer. Now, summer's almost over, but they've got 0% financing offers.
They'll have something for Labor Day, Steve. You know that.
Get to their website, BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E, that's the family name, BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration, if you got water, if you got mold, you call them right away. Call them first if you've got storm damage, whatever it is at your property, 24-7, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. They're a one-stop shop, Ira, because they'll do repairs for you as well. If you have a flood in your bathroom and you need to rip that wall out, they're going to do everything if that's what you need. And most important, they're going to fight with your insurance company and on your behalf to make sure you get the money that is coming your way. Call them 24-7. They'll respond 24-7 and mention Ira when you call or Joe Bucks fan. And $500 is waiting for you if you eventually need their services after your free evaluation. But the 24-7 part is key, Ira. You can call them on a Sunday afternoon when you discover this stuff. They're going to come out.
Florida's Elite Restoration. They know the insurance side of the equation. Josh has worked that side for many years. He knows all the ins and outs, the nooks and crannies, the way insurance companies think. And that puts him in a position to give you an advantage. It's a winning edge. So Florida's Elite Restoration is the place to go. And you call them before you call insurance.
It's a huge advantage. It's not like having Dave Canales as your first-time offensive coordinator, Ira. You're talking about experience, fire restoration, licensed mold remediation specialists, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right, Sage, look, we've got a roster, and the Bucs issued it early. Todd Bowles clearly wanted to get it out of the way, have a practice today, Tuesday, with a clear head. The 53-man roster for now there. You were at One Buck all day, Ira. What stood out to you? What do you think about this roster? And I've got some questions for you.
Well, Steve, a couple of things. One, Steve, anytime one of the main talking points after a roster reduction is the dismissal of your long snapper, that means it was fairly nondescript. And I think it was. What jumped out at me looking at the breakdown, quite frankly, four tight ends. I didn't anticipate that. Co-Keith, Culp, the draft pick, even Payne Dorm to an extent. I didn't think he did much last year. Thought he underachieved last year. You know, and they got their starter. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of teams in this league that carry four tight ends on their 53. Steve, that one surprised me a little bit. But overall, and going with two quarterbacks for the moment, and I asked Bowles today about his confidence level in Kyle Trask. He spoke pretty highly of him, Steve. Now, look, any team in this league, Steve, they lose their quarterback for 10 weeks, put a fork in them, they're probably done. Same with the Bucks. But I don't know. Kyle Trask is sort of ingratiating himself with Bowles, where Bowles thinks he can carry the load for 4 weeks. Maybe he can, Steve. But overall, there were no shockers out there, Steve. No shockers. Four tight ends. We'll see if that lasts.
Well, it's interesting, Ira, because they kept 11 defensive backs. And Todd Bowles said today, special teams and versatility, special teams. We need special teams. The punt and kick coverage wasn't very good in that final preseason game. yeah, you can't read too much into that, but it wasn't great.
I didn't think it was great last year.
No, it wasn't, and they've got a new special teams coordinator this year. But three running backs, some teams keep four. Five receivers, some teams, including the Bucs in past years, keep five, six, seven. They don't expect much special teams play out of their receivers and running backs, and that's why I think they went a little tight end heavy, and of course defensive backs. Four linebackers, inside linebackers on the roster, Ira, and they wanted to keep all those edge rushers. Todd Bowles said today, these guys have potential. You don't want to throw away a pass rusher. So here we go. Everyone's going to get a shot.
Three running backs seems a little short, Steve. Seems a little short to me. It's a position that gets injured a lot. A lot. Especially, God forbid, you know, Rashad White gets that kind of workload that he had in 2023. You're asking for trouble. He takes a lot of shots, not so much as a receiver, but going between the tackles. That's where I think this cone thing could be interesting, Steve. The way they use Rashad White, the way they use Bucky Irving, maybe not so much between the tackles as last year where you're going to take a beating. Maybe you spring them outside a little bit.
Well, the interesting part about the three running backs, Ira, is only one of them has experience. Bucky Irving's a rookie. Sean Tucker, you know, he's got, what, 20 snaps under his belt, tops. So, I mean, that is thin, but you can always find a veteran running back.
I think that's an area where they might look at the final cuts, Steve. They might look at somebody's final cuts.
Yeah, I think we might be seeing a lot of action on the final cuts. Jason Light's done it before. It also, you know, if you want to read into that, Ira, and I think this is curious, very curious to hear your take. You know, I'm always looking for the behind the scenes.
Always.
The untold story. So Jason Light is doing a news conference tomorrow, Wednesday. Very rare to see the GM of this team out after final roster cuts coming out. Do you think that is scheduled on a Wednesday because they plan to put in some waiver claims and maybe sign somebody when the roster closes out at 4 o'clock Tuesday?
Interesting, Steve. He might already have some things on his mind. That's just like you, looking for nooks and crannies, Steve. That's what you do.
Well, it kind of fits.
But you're right. It's unusual because when do we get Jason Light? Well, we get him at the end of the season. We get him at Indy. We get him at the owners' meetings.
After the draft, of course.
And after the draft.
Right before the draft, and that's it.
And that's it. So maybe he wants to give Todd Bowles a blow on Wednesday. I don't mind that. He might bring some news to the podium tomorrow. He just might.
Yeah, he really might. So just a little conspiracy theory there, Sage, if you want to call it that.
And Steve, not to toot my own horn, although I've been known to do it, Stevie. Everybody and their mother, when the final 53 was announced, was revealed, all the stories centered on, look at this homegrown team. Jason Light, he either drafted this guy or he picked him up off the waiver wire or got him as an UFA. And all that's true, but it was true 2 weeks ago when I wrote that column too, Steve. So I saw what was going on at One Buck Place.
It's extraordinarily homegrown. Now, I got to argue with you a little bit, Ira. Payne Durham, you know, they didn't really play him very much last year. He did make two spectacular catches. It's not like you can say he didn't make a play. He was pretty much healthy.
I wouldn't mind him catching four or five touchdowns in the red zone.
I think he's capable, and I think he's obviously going to play a little more this year. They seem committed to keeping Kate Otten with a normal number of snaps. But I would take a little issue with you there. I put this on JoeBucksFan.com today, Ira, and your thoughts. Robert Hainsey, $3 million salary this year, last year of his contract. He's an experienced center. He's durable as heck and team guy. But the Bucs drafted Graham Barton because they didn't think they could win a Super Bowl with Robert Hainsey. So here we are, the end of the preseason. Do you think they trade or look to trade Hainsey if they can get something back? They can get a fourth-round pick from a desperate team. The Steelers and others have significant injuries at center. You think they pull the trigger and just say, hey, you know, we will get through this. Bredesen played some center with the Giants. Elijah Klein, if in an emergency, we're okay with this.
I don't see it, Steve. I don't see it. A couple of reasons. One, Jason Light still likes Hainsey. He doesn't think he's a failed draft pick. I don't think he's a failed draft pick. He's on the team. He belongs on the team. And they love him as a game-day dress guy. That gives you a little protection. Left guard, right guard, center. I mean, that's important, Steve. Getting a fourth or a fifth rounder for him when he was a third rounder, Steve? Was he a third rounder?
He was
rounder?
The last pick of the third round after the Super Bowl, 2021.
I don't see it, Steve. I don't see it. I think his versatility is his calling card. Is he no longer a starter? Yes, he's no longer a starter. But I think he's still valuable in the eyes of this organization. I don't see it happening.
All right. I'll buy that they love him. There's Hainsey Love. I don't think he's versatile because we've never seen him play anywhere but center. And they didn't even try to put him at guard this year. It was like center or bust for Hainsey.
And Steve, as enticing as Klein looks, he had a good training camp and did some things in preseason games. He's untested at the pro level.
Sure.
Like you said, Hainsey hasn't played guard, but he's played at the pro level. And I think that, going just with Klein as your primary backup, that's a little dangerous. It's a little dangerous.
All right, Sage. So as far as what you saw at $1 today, first open locker room. Now, for what fans don't know or may not realize is after training camp practice, it's kind of a free-for-all. You talk to who you want. The players have a little time off, lunchtime for them, but there's family there. They mingle. It's kind of a free-for-all. We can talk to who we want to without a lot of oversight. Now, they're back in regular season mode now, which means after practice, the locker room opens for an hour, and you can talk to whoever's in there. Allegedly, they're supposed to be in there during some media time, but a lot of players don't show up, which is fine. And today you were in open locker room. So what was the Sage doing in there? Who'd you talk to? What's going on?
I think they had a good group today, Steve. Normally during the season, it's a little sparse. It is. Steve, I went around the corner, and you know me. I have a natural inclination towards the offensive line. Always have. Going back to when I was 25 years old in the New York Giants locker room. And there they were, Steve. There they were. Tristan Wirfs, Bredesen, Mauch, Gedeke. They're all there, Steve. And of course, Barton. Everything else was a little spotty. Well, Mike Evans was hanging around. Godwin was in there. We talked to him. He's looking for a big year. It's a big year for Chris Godwin. Who says so? Chris Godwin. I asked him that specifically. Trask was wandering around. Jamel Dean. I didn't see Levante, who I wanted to talk to. But K.J. Britt was around. Winfield came in at the end. It was a pretty good turnout. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
So what'd Godwin tell you? Come on. Spit it out. I don't care if it's a column coming up. What'd he tell you?
He wants to visit the end zone more. And Buck fans want him to visit the end zone more. He's very excited about his role this year, the scheme this year, and where he's going to play this year. He's very excited. We didn't get into why the hell they changed you around last year, which I asked on the last podcast, and you defended the Buck organization. I still don't understand who made the decision, why they made the decision. Let's move him outside. Some people are conjecturing, they're trying to protect him from his injury. I don't think that's a good enough reason, Steve. He flourishes in that spot. It's what he does. He makes the tough catches. As a matter of fact, McMillan reminds me of him a little bit. Totally unproven on the pro level. And he's all about his contract. He even mentioned it. Contract year. I need a big year. And I think he definitely wants to stay as a Buccaneer. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. We'll see what happens. I don't think this is going to be an easy call.
So Sage,
especially if McMillan turns out to be a player. That could be a factor.
Of course. And if there's a running game. Right? Because if you have a decent running game, you're going to use it. You're going to lean on it. And that changes the equation as well.
And Evans is coming back next year.
So let me ask you this, Ira, because a lot of fans, you're a fantasy football player. So many of our listeners have their drafts coming up. And it does tie to the Bucs on an actual real football level. But you know how this works. There is going to be a concerted effort to get Godwin his numbers and what he needs for his new contract and to keep him happy.
And the same holds for Mike Evans.
And get him in the end zone. There's an incredible drive to get Evans those 1,000 yards. And he's got Hall of Fame in his sights. Wasn't even joking with you about the Hall of Fame today in the locker room.
Yes, he is.
So you've got that. Plus, you've got a team that wants to focus on the run. You've got Rashad White, who's looking for his 1,000 yards and everything else. How well do you think they'll manage it this year as far as Baker Mayfield and Liam Cohen, making sure everybody gets what they need to be happy? Because we saw what happened last year. Godwin was unhappy. His wife spoke up and things changed.
The way I look at it, Steve, a robust running game, and by that I mean top 15. I'm not looking for, you know, the Baltimore Ravens here. I'm looking for middle of the pack, which would be a huge upgrade from what we've seen the last 2 years in terms of running the football. Steve, the way I look at it, a decent run game, you could say, well, wait a minute. Now you got carries. You're taking away from throws from Mayfield. It's going to make the passing game that much more effective and efficient when they do throw the ball. And I don't think Cone's here to turn the Bucs into Baltimore South or Cleveland South, a run-oriented attack. No, I don't think so. Improving the run game, I think, is the number one offseason priority, along with the pass rush, the edge rush, those two. I don't think a much better running game is going to hurt the passing game. In fact, I think it's going to make it a lot better. You remember I asked Bowles last week about play-action passes.
Yeah.
And he said what we all agreed on, Steve. If they don't respect your running game, why even do the play
action? Who's got more yards this year, Godwin or Evans?
I think Godwin.
Bold call.
Evans more touchdowns, Godwin more yards.
Bold call by the Sage. It's going to be very interesting, in my opinion, to see how they manage that, how that the evolution of that works within the offense. And obviously plenty of teams have 2,000-yard receivers. We saw it with the Bucs with Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, and we've seen it with other guys, but you know, it is something that has to be managed, and every year is a different year, and Liam Cohen's never done that before. Canales never did it before either and didn't necessarily manage it the way that he needed to for everyone to stay happy, and happy's important. It always has been, always will be.
And, Steve, one more quick point. Don't want to read too much into training camp, but, Steve, almost from day one, as far as I was concerned, and you were out there a lot, there's more of a spring in Godwin's step this year, Steve. I thought it was clear from early in training camp. He's healthier.
It's obvious. It looks a little quicker, a little more sudden, you know, a little tighter on
the
cuts.
It's going to help him on the routes.
And he's in perfect shape. He practiced all the way through. No veteran days off. He looks great. It's a big part of why I don't see what all these other people see, which is the Bucs, you know, 7-8 win team. I just don't see it. There's no reason to think those guys are going to get healthy, get hurt.
Now, Steve, it's predicated in part on this better run game showing up in the regular season. We have to see. Now, Washington is not the 85 Bears. I understand that on defense. But they got some big defensive linemen in the middle of that defense who aren't going to make it easy for Barton in his first pro game. Not easy. Or Bredesen in his first game as a Buccaneer. That might be a strength of the Commanders. They don't have a lot of strengths, but that could be one of them. They could be formidable against the run. We shall see. The running game is the key to this offense because we don't want to harp on it too much, but Steve, the facts are the facts. This has been a lousy offense for 2 years, one of them including Brady. Lousy offense. They don't score 27 points that often. They don't score 24 points often enough. I think they had 7 games last year winning. That's 7 out of 17. Steve, 20's not a big threshold. So you're putting a lot of pressure on your defense. I think this run game is critical, and Steve, if it comes through, and so far, so good. I think this could be a very good offense. I think the O-line's going to be considerably better,
Rashad,
with the two new starters.
Rashad Whiteira in the preseason finale, he was in on the Bucs' scoring drive. It was against the Dolphins' second-teamers. Did he look good enough to you? I don't care about the numbers. Did he look the part to you?
The holes looked a lot bigger, Steve. That's the first thing that jumped out at me. He had more time to pick his spots, which has been a problem. But I'll say it right now, Steve. I'm not convinced Bucky Irving isn't going to eat into a substantial amount of white carries. I think he could.
Just to clarify, Sage, last year, the Buccaneers scored 24 points or more 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Not a lot.
Not a lot.
Not a lot at all.
And, Steve, one more thing about the running game. It goes unnoticed, but I think it's big. The Bucs weren't great in the red zone. I forgot where they ranked, but not great. Defensively, I think they were good in the
red
zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve, a big part of the struggles, they never score a rushing touchdown. They never score a rushing touchdown. You don't have to look at teams like the Eagles because they got Hurts. Josh Allen's, you know, getting 15 touchdowns in the red zone. But, Steve, other teams, you know, they get 12, 14, 15 rushing touchdowns. The Buck rushing touchdown total was abysmal last year. They don't run it in the red zone. They don't run it well in the red zone. When they do run it, can you give me a dozen touchdowns on the ground? They don't seem to be able to do it. I think it's a big problem when the field constricts.
Yeah, and the Bucs had 8 last year, very bottom of the league. The average in the NFL is about 14. So I mean, it's significant when you're not even getting a rushing touchdown every other game.
It's hard to throw touchdown passes in the red zone. It's not easy. The field's constricting. Now, you got your fades to Mike Evans. I understand that. But it's a lot easier on it. They got a lot less territory to defend.
Yeah. Now, I mean, they didn't score enough. Well, you said it yourself, and everybody knows that the offense wasn't good enough. They put up numbers. Mayfield's numbers looked pretty good. So did Godwin. So did Evans. Yeah. Godwin minus the touchdowns. But the overall in the picture was not great. And, you know, we all got to watch it, and it struggled. It got better. And, you know,
it did get better this year.
Yeah.
It got better.
It got a lot
because the Eagles game, which was a wipeout, they did plenty. And I thought the offense was pretty darn good in Detroit.
So, Sage, one thing that Jason Light said, found this from a few weeks ago on podcast, wrote about it at JoeBucksFan.com. He prefers a quarterback, and he was referring to Mayfield in 2024. He said, I think it all plays a big part when a quarterback's mind is free of outside things, worries and concerns and all those things. We've seen it here. It makes a big difference. You know, Mayfield had a few things going on in the past. Right now, I think he's feeling pretty good. Is he referring to Tom Brady? Is he referring to Jameis Winston? Is he referring to both? Is he referring to Mayfield last year, having a baby, fighting for a job? You know, there was that paperwork that he filed against his father for, you know, allegedly stealing his fortune. What do you think he was talking about there, and how significant do you think that really is?
I definitely think he was talking about the latter stages of Winston's Buck career and the last year that Tom Brady played when he was totally distracted. Everybody knows it. Brady never denied it, and it would have sounded crazy for Light to say that about Mayfield a year ago. A year ago, he's bouncing around from team to team. He doesn't know what his future is. He signed a minimal contract. Of course, he didn't have any suitors. And a year later, you know, settled down, family man, loves Tampa, loves his teammates. Boy, what a difference a year makes. He was definitely talking about Brady's last year and the Winston suspension and all the controversy that swirled around Winston for much of his five-year Buck career.
Sage, I was listening to Bill Belichick with Pat McAfee the other day, and he was very detailed on how you simply cannot judge a quarterback on preseason gameplay. It's got to be about practice, and that it's so vanilla and so not real that you can't evaluate a quarterback in the preseason. It made me think of the Kyle Trask, Baker Mayfield battle of last year. It just was an interesting take, but it was very detailed, as Belichick is. Just your thought on that.
We've been watching preseason for years now, and it seems to be getting worse. It seems to be less telling about exactly what you got on your hands. I think most coaches would say that the scrimmages against other teams way more than the preseason games in some respects, and the individual practices within the organization. There's a reason why the NFL is going to go to two preseason games, and who knows if they're going to stop there. Steve Goodell, who isn't very definitive on a lot of things, is very definitive on the preseason. He says it stinks, and it's got to be changed. The quality of play is terrible. The starters aren't playing. How are you supposed to evaluate somebody when he's playing against guys that aren't even going to make the team 2 weeks later?
Sage, it sounds more and more to me, listening to Bulls and around the league, and I'm curious if you agree, sounds more and more like coaches are putting more stock in these underwear football spring practices because training camp doesn't look a hell of a lot different. So if a guy shows you what he can do and how he can develop and learn in May and June, you know, yeah, you want to see it for real in the summer, but you got a pretty solid foundation of what who you like for your team. Are you picking up on that?
That's very interesting you said that, Steve, because we talked to Bowles today, and he was asked about several prospects that don't have any pro experience and kind of like, hey, how'd you know that this guy, you know, could be the real deal? When did you really get interested in this guy? And he immediately went to spring practice and talked about two or three guys. And the way he said it, Steve, the way he phrased it, you could tell Bowles put a lot of stock into it.
Yeah.
And he obviously talked to, you know, Light, Spytek, the assistant coaches, maybe even a Glazer when they asked him, hey, who stands out? You know, maybe he's got a conversation with with Joel in June. You see anything out there? Some of these, you know, guys. I was a little surprised Bowles went that strong on that, Steve, but that's a very strong point. These OTAs are growing in importance in the eyes of coaches.
Yeah, the balance isn't what it used to be, where it, you know, was heavier on these preseason games and in the summer. I don't know. I don't know if that's good or bad, but we're gonna find out.
Steve, they make an impression in April and May that kind of lasts through the summer.
Exactly, and I get that. It's just like there's not enough that goes on in the summer where coaches are overly crazy excited about it to shake them off their initial foundational evaluations. All right, look, Sage, before we get out of here, a lot of hype for Jalen McMillan. The guy has got a good catch radius and a lot of talent.
Good hands.
I don't consider him an elite talent. I don't. When I watch him in practice and in Jacksonville and elsewhere and on the preseason field, I'm excited for him. I'm just not as excited about as many Bucs fans, and I hear the national people are as well, that I've heard talk about. I just feel he's a little small. I'm not sure he's going to hold up, and there have been plenty of small guys out there who've held up just fine. And, look, we watched Adam Humphries be an undrafted guy and go out and catch 60, 70 balls, return punts, be a solid player. But I don't see this superstar player in McMillan that others do. Do you agree with me?
I'm not going to hold him to that kind of standard, Steve. He's not the number one. He's not the number two. Not even close. And between him and Trey Palmer, I think they'll do enough as that third guy just to preoccupy the minds of some defensive coordinators like, hey, we got to pay attention to this guy. He's not a non-entity. I'm with you. His size isn't going to knock anybody out. Saw him in the locker room today. But he is a smooth route runner, Steve. And I think that's what they're looking for. And I think he will build trust with Mayfield as the season progresses, unless he gets a case of the drops, which I don't think he will. What's acceptable for a Jalen McMillan? Well, there's a reason he lasted to the third round, Steve. That's number one. Steve, if he catches 44 passes for 550 yards and five touchdowns.
It's a great season for him.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
Well, the crazy thing is that if he is actually as good, and I'm not saying that I'm the be-all, end-all evaluation, but if he is as good as fans think, they're going to have to open up the offense because they'd be crazy not to, which is a whole nother animal and layer that, you know, we'll know it when we see it. And as Belichick said, these teams don't even know who they are yet until 3-4 weeks of the season, especially with the way the summer has changed. And I think the Bucs are sort of in that category offensively, because they don't really know if they're going to have this running game. They don't really know.
And Steve, the key part of that is giving Mayfield enough time. And I might have been away from the mainstream on this last year, because I ripped the O-line a lot about their run blocking. But Steve, overall, I thought the protection was adequate, or maybe even better than adequate.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at the year
I don't think Mayfield was running for his life.
They didn't replace Robert Hainsey for his pass blocking. Let's put it that way. All right, Sage. Bill Curry Ford presents all of your work. Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, the name from Tampa Bay across the state to Orlando and to the East Coast when you have a disaster at your property. Check them out now, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, are you excited to go back to One Buck tomorrow?
I absolutely am. And let's hold Jason Light's feet to the fire, because right now he's feeling his oats, Steve.
There's no fire, but we'll do it anyway.
We'll do it anyway.